Hey there, welcome to Elside Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of ElsideDemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking Elside. We have an email here from Noah.
Subject is burning the boats, but not the bridge. Dear Demon team, UGPA 3.94 majors in finance and communication, LSAT 164, August 2022. Would love y'all's feedback on my dilemma. Cannot thank both of you guys as well as the whole Demon team for everything y'all do. Feel free to use my first name if this does get aired. He didn't say all y'all twice in one sentence. The first time he said Ben and Nathan, I put that y'all in there. With a diagnostic score of 146, I enrolled in unnamed guaranteed course. 165 plus guaranteed course. Did you know they had such a thing?
I have seen this before. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So they guarantee you'll get a 165. Got it.
Wow. Okay. And it's a $1,500 class. Back in January, after months of twice a week, 3 hour long classes and way too many late nights filled with hundreds of homework questions, I scored a 157 in April. Does that mean that he got the money back guarantee? But no, what it's going to be is you can take the class again.
You can take the class again. Oh, that's what's guaranteed. Yep. We can guarantee you can keep taking the class. Well, the other thing is, did you do all the homework? That's why they give hundreds of homework questions.
I mean, Noah did it all, it sounds like, and it actually improved by 11 points despite that company's terrible strategies.
Yeah.
I looked everywhere for help on the test, finding this podcast in the process. I was hooked immediately on the Demon Philosophy and became a premium subscriber for 2 months ahead of the August LSAT. I was averaging 167 on my weekly practice tests in July, peaking at 169. I ended up earning a 164 on my official test. I was so excited about the 7-point jump that I broke one of Nathan and Ben's fundamental rules of getting your best possible score first. I applied early and broadly, 16 apps submitted, the first week of September with this 164. And then Noah says, I know, combining that with my wasted other prep course is quite the sunk cost. Yeah, in other words, none of this actually matters. Unless you accept a bad offer, none of this, whatever you've done so far, all sins are forgiven.
You recognize it as a sunk cost. That's what it is.
Yeah. I went into the summer working to break 160 and have already received a full ride offer near home at Baylor. Something I would have been ecstatic about back in April, but I already feel like I'm leaving money on the table taking any offer that comes to me this cycle. If I can make an official 7-point jump in 2 months, there's no telling the kind of progress I can make ahead of next application cycle. That's 1,000% correct. If you get 7 more points, there's no way you're going to Baylor. Yeah. Even with full ride plus stipend, you're not going to Baylor.
Yep.
I'm graduating from undergrad this December, and I've been discouraged with my lack of progress in the job search thus far, which likely led to my decision to apply this cycle. That is very common. People are like, but what am I doing with my life? And I can't find a job, so I need to go hide out in law school. Bad idea. Plus, my parents are very vocal in their support to take one of the full ride offers in hand already. But I know both of these things are so small compared to the investment I am making in my future legal career. And there, I think, you know, it's not just the name of the school. It's the time that you spend at that school. You're making a huge investment. And Noah recognizes that. Noah says, I know I need to withdraw my applications, but I want to wait until December after I hopefully find full-time employment, as well as see the kind of offers a 164 can get me. That's two reasons. What do you think of those two reasons? What's the point of waiting until after you find full-time employment?
Noah is just, like his subject line says, he wants to burn the boats, but not the bridge. He wants to keep this hold, this safety blanket.
I just think nothing but bad things are going to come out of that, Noah.
Your Tell parents are going to double down on their pressure for you to go. Yep.
Yep. Every day you keep those applications open is a day closer to you actually taking one of those offers. And those offers are not as good as you can get. Like, you're going to find out what you were worth with a 164. I don't give a shit what you're worth with a 164. You're going to end up way higher than that. You've been averaging 167, peaked at 169. 170 something is well within reach.
Without any more prep, you could go take the test again and easily bump up to 166, 167. Easily.
And with prep, you could end up at 170 something.
Yeah.
Both of those reasons are bad for keeping your applications open. Like, nothing but good, nothing but bad is going to come from this. And then Noah says, how can I withdraw in the most respectful way possible that does not harm my chances at getting in next cycle? You're way overthinking it. I think you need to say, thank you for your offer of admission, but I've decided that this year won't work for me. I'm going to reapply next cycle. Some of the schools might come back with, oh, well, would you like to defer? At which point you need to read the fine print, probably say no. Because if they're if it's like some binding deferral, then no.
Yep.
But people don't understand, Ben. They have hundreds of applicants. They have thousands of applicants for hundreds of spots. There are going to be dozens of people who get admitted and then say, oh, this isn't the right time for me.
They're never going to remember you. They're never going to remember. No,
they act like they might, but they're not. They're going to be perfectly happy to evaluate your application next cycle.
Be kind and respectful. Like you said, thank you, but not this year. We don't need to burn any of those bridges.
Yeah. Thank you. I have some personal things I need to take care of this year. I decided I'm going to reapply next cycle.
Yep.
Very simple. Just for reference, my top five, I feel I will be likely accepted at. So right now with your dorky 164, which you know you can do better than, Emory, Maryland, George Mason, Fordham, and North Carolina. Not that there's anything wrong with those schools, but, you know, not those. Yeah. There's nothing like wow about any of those schools. And Noah says, but I know I could be eligible for full ride offers from these same schools if I put the work in this spring after I graduate undergrad and apply next cycle with three more official attempts.
Oh, well, here's another thing. Noah's in undergrad. Work on your grades, too. Jeez, you have time to.
Yeah, and improve. You haven't even graduated.
Yeah.
No brainer. But step one is just you got to get this out of your mind. So like go right now and just withdraw from all these schools. I think you'll feel great once you do.
Yeah. Sometimes what you fear most is what you need to do the most.
Yeah. And you've been thinking about it for weeks. And then once you finally do it, you're going to be like, oh, my God, I threw some stuff away, Ben, yesterday. You know, I bought this house 2 years ago. Right. And it was furnished when I bought it. And there's like still stuff that when I see the stuff, it's like it doesn't make me happy. And it's just kind of taking up space in a drawer. And then like I go and just finally like recycle it or whatever. Instantly, like I'll never think about it ever again. It's just like that's gone now. One less thing to just kind of like you see it and you feel shitty about it and you think about it and you have this debate, the same debate, and then you don't do anything about it. And then you repeat that 100 times and then you finally like actually do something.
Yeah.
Maybe Noah can just go ahead and rip off that Band-Aid right now. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.